Miles, what is cooking?
Charlie, we're back in the saddle. How's it feeling?
Back in the saddle again. That's not in any key.
It sounds good to me, Charlie.
Cool. That's all that matters.
What's Welcome cooking? Back to the Belly It Up podcast, everybody. We are
at Stenny's in Milwaukee.
Have you been to Stenny's a few times, Charlie?
Oh, yeah. Last I was here, I sat at that table right over there. My sister was here. I think it was a trivia night or something. Bingo? I don't know.
If it was trivia, there's no way you won.
No. And first of all, frick you. Second of all, I'm not that bad at trivia, depending upon the topic.
It's got to be the right topic. Like, I imagine Packer history trivia, you're going to be pretty good.
I'm pretty good at that.
Basically, anything to do with Wisconsin tourism,
boom.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, stock market, Charlie?
Well, that is actually not something I'm historically good at. I remember I decided to purchase a stock one time on an application on my phone.
Yep.
And it was
Was it GameStop?
It was actually, I believe, I did do GameStop and I lost money on it. I bought a marijuana cigarette stock.
Yep.
And I thought it did well. It did not. It was a Canadian one. And then I, what else did I purchase? Anyway, whatever I purchased, I gave it to my buddy and I said, I don't know what I'm doing. And he looked at my stuff. He's like, yeah, you really don't. So, no, I agree, Miles. I agree. So
now the stock market isn't what I wanted to talk to you about.
What
today,
do you want
Charlie.
To talk to me about, Miles?
I need to ask you some questions about your most recent performance on the Big Ten Network.
Ooh, I don't even know what's funny about this. So, what did I do bad?
So Charlie was on the Big Ten Network.
Yeah.
And then he was in a, I don't remember what the challenge was called, but Charlie was tasked with throwing Nerf footballs.
Yeah, I remember that.
To someone in the crowd to see how many he could get in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And Charlie, that was kind of a sad performance.
Oh, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. I forgot. We have Miles, mon plaisir, former quarterback in, what was it, D2? D2?
Yeah, I played two games.
Okay. So,
well, one and a half, really.
First of all, Miles, I want to tell you this. My form was, these are Nerf footballs with the wings on them.
But do you remember the first three throws that you did?
It was harder than it looks, and there was a lot of pressure.
Those suckers sailed 15 feet high from your target.
I know. Why was that?
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to ask you. What happened? Is it a rotator cuff issue?
No, it was because I was elevated and he was de-elevated. Yeah. Gotcha. I was throwing down slope. So actually, I'm used to throwing on a football field, you know, when I'm out there training.
Yeah, when you are getting your timing patterns down.
Well, in all honesty, how many times are you throwing down?
Well, that and how many times are you throwing to a stationary receiver?
True.
You're kind of a long bomb guy, right?
Like, I mean, if they would call me in for the Hail Marys back when I was third string QB on the Spartans back in the day. Yeah.
Well, I just had to say I saw it. I was excited, got a little bit disappointed. I thought you were going to do better than... Well, they said in the broadcast that Mike Allstott
had like 15.
Yeah, and you got like 8.
Well, that's pretty damn good, dude.
Yeah, but he was a fullback.
Shit.
And you know who you traditionally put at fullback is the guys who have stones for hands and arms and legs.
Well, Miles, I don't know if you know this, but I tell funnies for a living, okay? So... If anyone
and that performance was a joke.
Oh, wow. Burn. Were you just sitting on your couch? This is what I want to get into. Were you just sitting on your couch on a Saturday morning flipping through the channels and then all of a sudden you see your buddy on the telly?
No, I saw it online after.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. But
were you jealous?
So,
guys,
search Charlie Barron's Big Ten Network.
You don't need to search this.
Go watch that video.
It was live, dude. It's not on internet.
But hey, everyone who goes sees it, if it's like a tweet or something, make sure you respond and say, wow, Charlie, what an arm.
You know what? Miles, there was actually a kid there holding up a sign of my noggin.
I saw that.
See that?
See, because you panicked because you were off target with the real targets, and then you tried to be funny and throw at the guy's at your head.
So there was this other kid holding an OPE sign, and I accidentally hit that. That wasn't even on purpose. I just have that bad. I was, if it makes you feel better, in all honesty, I was very unimpressed with how I threw those Nerf footballs.
Yeah, I think most people were.
It lives rent-free inside my head.
Hey, no matter how this podcast goes down, let's head to the park.
Yeah.
Let's maybe get some tosses in.
You want to?
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? The other day was the opener for bow season. Do you ever bow hunt?
I don't bow hunt. I have a bow. Yeah. I want to get into it.
We should kind of, we might, maybe while you're here, we go over to the deal, fill up a paper plate, you know?
Yeah, let's do it.
You know what I'm actually doing? In my garage, in the side of my garage, I'm putting a target for my recurve, you know, but I can't tell anyone else because A, I think it's kind of illegal, you know, to do it where I'm doing it, you know? But also, I don't want anyone else like to know I have it there because then they'll give it a go and then I'll have all these holes in the side of my garage. So I'm confident enough in myself to keep filling a paper plate. And I could just put a board, you know, in the corner, which is probably what I should do.
But true Wisconsin fashion, you're a true Midwestern boy if you are better at shooting a bow than throwing a football, I will have to say, Charlie.
Yeah, I am, but that's not saying much. And also, dude, that's not a real football. That's a Nerf football, and I'd like to see you do it that many times. It's a whole different
Well, we
motion.
May have to do it at some point.
Yeah. Well, thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, I just had to discuss it with you because I saw it and I was like, what's going on, Charlie?
You can just say...
Was it windy? Were you hungover?
I was hungover. I was wearing sunglasses on an overcast day. That's the other thing. You look at the other two hosts on that show, neither are wearing sunglasses, and I just... Full sun goggles on.
And it's also funny because the whole like intro and stuff, the guy who was introducing you was like knew where the camera was and was like talking to the camera introducing the game, and you were just turned the other way the whole time.
What was I doing?
You just were like, I mean, because you were throwing away from the camera. Uh-huh. But when he was introing it, you didn't like turn around and like wave or
dude,
whatever.
You can't hear up there, man. You know that those little like Burger King things.
Like I thought the guy was gonna come and like turn you around.
Was so he? Oh, that's so awkward though. That like, where'd you see this video?
I don't know. Jared sent it to me.
You sent it?
It was on Twitter.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Big Ten Network Twitter. Oh, we retweeted it too. So
did you? Yep. Shoot, I gotta retweet that.
So go to Bellied Up Pod on Twitter and see Charlie's historic performance. Well, Charlie, should we put on another historic performance today with some callers or
yeah,
what?
Yeah, Miles, you know, and if the Big Ten tailgate ever comes to your D2 school, maybe you'll get a shot to do that.
You're right. That one hurts.
Burn. Welcome to the Bellied Up Podcast. Who are we chit-chatting with today?
This is Anthony.
Anthony. Hello, sir.
Yep, from the terrible state of Illinois.
Illinois. Where in Illinois, Anthony?
Over in Arlington Heights, one of the northwest suburbs.
Oh, that's Miles. That is where the Chicago Bears are potentially moving to. Isn't that right, Anthony?
Oh, yeah.
I know nothing about
this. Oh, yeah.
We
hope so.
So Soldier Field is a historic field, but it's a dump. Okay, Anthony's words. And Anthony, are you a Bears fan?
You know, I am, but I don't really care about football that much. I just stick with the Bears a little bit. Okay. I was a little bit of a Packers fan as a kid. A little bit. I'm 19.
Yeah.
So you're still a kid.
Yeah, you're still a kid, Anthony. There is time.
Yeah.
There's time to change your ways. Why are you... You were a Packers fan as a kid, dude, and you grew up...
Then you gave it up.
Yeah, you saw the Packers go to a Super Bowl. You saw and they won. You saw the Bears go to the Super Bowl. And what'd they do, Anthony?
Well, you know, it was more just to annoy my dad, who's a Bears fan. And I was like, you know, let's just take the side that annoys him.
I can relate to that. That's what I would do. So actually, you know, Anthony, I think you're pretty smart. So whatever Charlie says, don't listen to him.
I say keep annoying your dad.
Okay.
Be a Packers fan, Anthony.
Well, you know, the Bears played the other day against the Packers. I think I watched 5 minutes of it. I was like, they'll find a way to lose.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter who they play. They'll find a way to lose.
Yeah, and then if you're looking for something a little more entertaining in the football world, you should go to the Big Ten Network Twitter and see Charlie throw footballs on the Big Ten Network.
Anthony, I should have been like Justin Fields and just ran those balls over to the guy.
You would have gotten more in the game.
I would have. I had no business throwing at that point. But, well, Anthony.
You know, Charlie, I heard.
What'd you hear?
No, I had a friend who went to the Brewers game the day you pitched. He said he was very excited to watch you throw that opening pitch. I heard you did a fantastic job.
Really?
You did a fantastic job.
I'm surprised it didn't go 15 feet high.
No, bro. I went a wee bit outside. Just a bit outside. But thank you. Tell your friend I say thank you for spreading the good news of my amazing right arm, unlike Miles, who's been trashing it this entire podcast. What's on your mind? What's on your mind, Anthony?
A couple things. So, number one, we need to make fun of Illinois more. You guys need to do more videos on it because it's terrible here. And I got a list of things for videos that could help you out.
Okay. Give us your top three things that are the worst. Sorry. Give me your top three worst things about Illinois.
Number one.
The Bears.
You are taxed. No, honestly, that's not bad. It's the tax. It's terrible. You can't make any money here. All right, that's number one.
What's your number tax rate?
I don't know, but let's just say you don't make money. Let's count it as nothing.
Okay. All right. Come back with, it's big. Number two.
Everything. Sales tax. Sales tax in Arlington Heights is probably, I live with my parents, so we have, you know, a decent colonial home with just a small little lot. And it's like $8,000. You go to North Carolina, $800 for 3 acres property tax. Oh. So property taxes are a big problem.
Yeah. All right. So taxes is number one. What's number two?
He's talking like he's 49, not 19.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's what we talk about in Illinois, how we can escape. That's all we talk about. Number two would be, I don't know if you knew this, hunting is so bad here. You're not even allowed to hunt with a hunting rifle except for this past year, and it can only hold one round, and it can only be one type of straight-walled cartridges, nothing fancy. So I said, heck with it. I'm going to Wisconsin. It's much better. So hunting, terrible. Too many rules, too many problems. They make everything a problem. Number three, you can't even buy fireworks in our state. I think that's a big no-go. Nobody should live in here if you can't buy fireworks.
Well, Wisconsin is kind of the place, you need to go. We've got a plenty of fireworks stands here, man. I mean, a surplus
of
them.
Trust me, I load up every year. Me and my brother, we do a little criminal activity. We head up over the border, load up, come back over, do a little smuggling action.
Ah, you're a bootlegger. Awesome. You're a firework bootlegger. I like it.
You know what's really interesting, though, is if you look at Wisconsin and Illinois, you've got all these stoners going into Illinois for their weed, and then all these pyros going to Wisconsin for their fireworks.
It's a give and take relationship,
it really is. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, it's just it's miserable. Everything's an ordeal. I'd much rather go to Wisconsin.
All right,
pretty much any other state in the country.
Well, you gotta become a Packers fan.
So first of all, I mean I could get on board with number one and two, but number three with the fireworks, there's nothing worse than the fireworks. I feel like that.
Oh, there is. I just listen. Hold on. Let's think about this a little bit more. You know, it's really just everything. You know, have you guys ever heard of the app Nextdoor, the social media app?
Nextdoor app, sure.
Yep.
Okay. So me and my brother, we do a lot of side jobs. We do drywall, we do landscape, we do tons of stuff. So I put myself out on that app and I said, you know, you contact new people in the neighborhood, snow plowing, anything. All day I get dings with the stupidest things these Karens are obsessed about. There's a noise. What happened with the noise? There's a cat on the side of the road. There's this. It's like, calm down, go do something. Nobody in Illinois has anything to do, so they complain about everything.
Well, I mean, Arlington Heights, that's kind of a, that's sort of a well-to-do suburb, is it not?
Oh, yeah, well-to-do for sure. They know they do not like redneck stuff, which is also very sad, you know?
Well, how many, and use being the culprit of all the fireworks, they got to think that all those are gunshots on that app, right?
No, we actually, about 6 years ago, Memorial Day, me and my brother lit off like two mortars. And this guy, three houses down, he called the police department because there was a homicide the other side of the town a week prior, and he just wanted to be safe.
Yep.
And the cops showed up with all their flashlights. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, we put a bunch of extra fireworks in the fire pit, and I warned him. I'm like, be careful. Those things might blow up. I don't want you pulling your gun out at the fire pit over there. I'm like, do people really have nothing else to do?
Well, okay. First of all, dude, if you're lighting off mortars, was this on the 4th of July?
Memorial Day.
Memorial Day.
No, it was Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, so that's not historically the fireworks kind of celebration. So, you know, you're going to get a visit. And by the way, this is what I'm most curious about. When the police officer came over to check on those mortars you just lit off, did you put the fireworks in the fire pit when he got there? Why did you put fireworks in the fire pit?
So we had lit off two mortars. The cops came like 15 minutes after we were kind of done. But we also had some firecrackers and some Roman candles. The firecrackers, you know how they break apart and you just kind of like sweep up the rest that didn't explode?
What
we would do is clean up. We just tossed the firecrackers, not mortars, but just the firecrackers in the fire pit and let the blown up ones burn off. And a couple stray ones will pop here and there. But the there were like three cops and they're all just like patrolling our yard. And I'm like, oh gosh, because there's other towns around here that are like, they go full out. Like on the 4th of July, they're blowing up stuff right in front of the cops. They don't care. You know, like you said, it's a nice little well-to-do, little... What?
What's the weirdest thing you've ever done with fireworks?
Ooh, okay. So this year, I had a 4-inch mortar. Class B stuff we're dealing with.
Did you measure it from the base, and, or where'd you measure from?
No, I think it's the diameter was 4 inches.
Okay, so you got four inch thick.
That is, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a big old mortar. So what'd you do with that sucker?
I got this from my job the previous summer, and I was like, well, we got to get PVC for it because I can't really find a tube. So I got a 5-gallon bucket, filled it with gravel, compacted it, put the PVC in the middle to keep it secure from bouncing around, took it out to a field at my uncle's. Well, the fuse was super long, and it had a electrical hookup and, to me, what looked like a lighter start. So we're videotaping. I light it. Within 0.0001 seconds, the thing takes off. No, if my head was over it, let's just say, you would not be hearing from me today.
So you are a full-blown pyromaniac. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't even know where to get...
Redneck.
I wouldn't even know where to get a 4-inch mortar, would you?
Wisconsin, actually.
I didn't even get it there because I went to a stand this year and showed a picture to the guy, and he's like, oh, those are Class B. He's like, yeah, you have to have a special license to buy those things.
He's full
blown. Or sell them or whatever.
Well, where did you get them?
So this guy at my construction job when I was graduating high school, in the shop, there were four of them just laying around on the table. And I'm like, hey, are you going to do anything with these? Can I have them? He's like, yeah, just give me $10 for one, and I'll be good to go. And I was like, sweet.
Just had four mortars just sitting on his table. So
just in a good old jewel bag, the bag of bags, just sitting around.
Okay. Well, I feel like every 3 minutes we keep talking, I feel like I got to start over a little bit with you, because as soon as I think I got you figured out, you pull out a 4-inch mortar.
Yeah.
And then you tell me that you're 19 years old. It sounds like you've been living on this earth much longer than that.
Yeah.
But I like that. You're keeping us guessing. So the mortar went off. Was it sweet, though? Like, was it pretty cool?
Oh, yeah, it was cool. It's like something the park district would throw off. It was, you know, pretty big, good end of the show. Good finale piece.
Nice. All right, well.
You ever come close to killing anyone with a firework?
Not really, no. Have you ever heard of Wakanda, Charlie?
Wakanda?
Like, Wakanda, Illinois, yeah, up north in Lake County.
I was thinking Black Panther a second. Is that really a Wakanda, Illinois?
It's a smaller town. Super great, but it's off one of the major roads. So we had cousins who had 5 acres out there, and we would always do, my cousin, he'd buy fireworks, we'd do stuff, and we would, you know, sometimes we'd put the wrong mortar in the wrong tube and it'd blow up, but they were so small. But nothing crazy. Me and my brother, we like to, you know what tannerite is?
Yeah, I know what tannerite is.
Oh, yeah.
So we go up to Wisconsin. We shoot on a guy's private property, and we take microwaves, printers.
Oh, God.
You name it. We take it out 200 yards, blow it to smithereens.
Yeah, I mean, that's just fun.
That's standard practice.
That's just good old-fashioned fun right there. Well, man, we appreciate you calling in. This is great. Last thing I'll say, I am wondering why you still live in Illinois if you hate it so much. Why not just move across the border?
So that's the thing, you know, really all of my family's here. For me to move, the amount of time I would spend just coming back and missing out on things, it's really not worth it. Both my grandparents are alive. I want to see them. I don't want to like move away and then miss out on a lot of things.
Yeah.
But once my dad kind of retires, he's talking maybe down south like Nashville or maybe one of the Carolinas. But I think I'd like to stay in the Midwest. I'm thinking a little bit of Michigan. I don't know. So.
Wait, why are you thinking Michigan, dude? You're right next to Wisconsin. Why are you going all the way to Michigan?
There's something about Michigan that I feel like it's a little more, it's like Wisconsin a lot, but it's a little more
open, say pure.
You know, I like them both. I don't know. Not sure yet, but yeah, that's about really it.
All right. Well, yeah, that makes sense. Well, we appreciate you calling in and stay strong down there in Illinois. And also stay safe with the fireworks.
I expect some content really ripping on us. You guys don't take advantage of how miserable it is down here.
Well, we got the taxes and the lack of fireworks. We can really dig into that. That sounds like fun and whatever.
Yeah.
What was your thing with the guns again? They can't let you shoot in. How many times do you need to shoot at a deer to hit the sucker?
No, so that's the thing. So last year, for the first time, I got my own hunting rifle. And, you know, I've been looking for years, like, what do I want? What's type of caliber and all that? Well, then I come to find out you weren't even allowed to use regular hunting rifles. So think about everything you used growing up, Charlie, we're not allowed to use. Only shotguns. So then last year, they told us, the state said, okay, fine, you can use a hunting rifle, but you can't use the 99% of calibers that everybody uses to hunt deer. You have to use the 1% that nobody really wants to use. Another control thing.
I'm sorry for the overreach of the Illinois government, my man. Well, have fun in Michigan, okay? All right. You know, as a Bears fan living in Illinois who wants to go to Michigan instead of Wisconsin, I'm trying to find sympathy in my soul for you. I'm going to keep digging and you keep her moving. OK.
All right, Charlie, Miles. Thank you, guys.
Be good, my guy. We see you.
Yep. That guy, Anthony's going to have a tragic fireworks accident is what it sounds like.
I think so. I think that's what we're
saying.
Anthony,
if you listen to this back, my man.
Yeah, we're doing the math.
Maybe leave the class B fireworks to the professionals.
Yeah, the next time you see some just hanging out on your buddy's desk, let it sit there a while longer. Yeah. Also, is that really where you should store that? Just sitting on top of the desk? You know? I mean,
probably not a good idea.
It just takes one dude who's like, oh man, now would be a great time to spark this bong, you know, and little paper fire or something. Yeah. I don't know. Things happen.
Stay safe, Anthony.
Stay safe. Stay safe, my friend.
Hello, who do we got on the line?
Hi, Miles. This is Monica.
Monica, what's going on?
Not much.
Hi, Monica. Charlie's here, too. He says hi.
Hi, Charlie.
Now,
what are you guys doing?
Well, we're having a little concoction here over at the bar. We're in Milwaukee.
Oh, nice.
Where are you?
I am in Hartford, Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah, Hartford.
Oh, yeah.
Just down the road a ways.
Well, why don't you belly up to the bar with us? What's on your mind?
Well, I need some advice. And depending on your advice, I might have a buy, sell, or trade.
Oh,
okay. All right. I like this.
What's the advice question?
How can I get my husband to stop buying tools?
Okay.
He owns every tool made ever, but he still finds a way to buy more tools.
I mean,
well, let's dive into the pain points here. Obviously, I could tell just from the very first thing you said to me, you seem a little upset, maybe a little dejected, maybe
on edge.
A little on edge. Tell us what's causing you so much pain with these tools, besides maybe cutting off your finger.
Well, yeah, I guess that's one thing. We recently had a trip to the emergency room because he nailed his finger to a board. But that's another story.
You're not supposed to put your thumb on top of the nail head.
Right.
You know, it sounds dumb, but we've all come pretty close to that. Oh, yeah. So good for him.
The bigger issue is that he's got to have 47 of everything. So I don't mind that, okay, I need this tool to do this job and I need this tool to do this job.
Yeah.
And I don't even mind having that he has two of everything, because I get that sometimes you need more than one, and he has this kind of, you know, drill that does this and this kind of drill does that, right? But he literally has like eight probably of everything. And my beef with it is that he has so many that, like, the garage is filled with the tools and tool chests that he can't find any of them. Like, you have eight and you can't find any of that tool.
Well,
so then he has to go, he goes to Menards at least twice a week. I mean, come on.
Well, okay. First of all, it doesn't matter how many tools you got. It's just in our men DNA that we can't really find things very easily. You could organize that thing the best, label everything, and for some reason you just misplace stuff. So I don't blame him for that.
And you think about from his perspective, he's fixing something. He can't find the right tool. Time is money, and he can either spend time looking for that tool or just go buy a ninth of that particular tool.
Yeah, there
tool.
You go, Charlie.
And I may fall into his category.
And spend more money.
Well, okay, so hold on here. These things will hold their value.
They do hold their value. And tools, historically speaking, it's like Rolex watches, gold, tools. Everybody
knows
that.
All three of those, yeah. And I think my first piece of advice would be, we maybe need to reframe your mind a little bit here, in the sense that you see it that he's buying eight of every tool. And to me, it sounds like he's a collector.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a collection of tools. And honestly, nothing's cooler than having a collection, Charlie.
No.
You collect stuff, don't you?
I do. I collect a lot of things. Yeah, and I will say that over time, the value in those will pay for whatever he's currently spending. The other thing you got to keep in mind is what kind of shape is your house in? Like, do you ever have to call a carpenter, you know?
Oh, no. Oh, wow.
Saving a lot of money there.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I guess I do. You know, I just text my husband, hey, come fix this. But, you know, I mean, for the most part, yes. Like the big jobs, he does fix around the house. However, I'm sitting here looking at, like, four paintings that I've been waiting to have hung on the wall for a very long time.
Oh, okay. Well,
to me,
well,
that's the simplest job of all of them.
Well, if you're like my wife, you don't need any tools for that. She just takes the remote, grabs a tack nail and just hammers the nail in with the remote, and it's crooked and not in the center of the wall, but at least it got hung up. You know?
And that's why you have five remotes in your house.
So that one, I don't blame him either, because you don't even need tools for that one.
Okay.
So
you got me there.
Yeah. Okay. Now is his garage is disorganized. Is he a disorganized person, or is just his tool life disorganized?
Just his tool life.
You know,
well, that's probably not true. He's losing stuff all the time that I have to then go around and find. And I can find, he'll say, oh, it's gone forever. I've been looking for 2 days and I can't find it. And I find it in 30 seconds. So yeah, maybe it's,
you know what? This is kind of the thing about this marriage that I think is we're missing a link here, and it's right there in front of us. You are organized and good at finding things. He is not, but he's good at fixing things. What if, you know, you organize his tool room?
Yeah.
What if he comes home one day and boom? My brother did this for my dad once. He went down into the basement for Father's Day. He organized his entire tool room. My dad came down and was pissed. He couldn't find a damn thing. But
so maybe don't do that. Yeah.
No, but I mean,
I was going to say, if you could see the look on my face right now,
okay. That was a hard...
You have to take a week off work to do that.
Yeah. My grandpa's tool bench was the same way. He literally needed a map if anyone wanted to find something in that thing. But you know,
to maybe give you some advice that would probably lean more on your side, if he can't find any of the tools that he has, you should just start selling them to the buy, sell, and trade here.
Ooh.
And he'll just think he lost it. But in reality, you're selling them, pocketing the cash, and you got yourself a little fund that you can
invest in pull tabs.
Yeah. What do you think of that?
That's a good idea. That's a good idea. Because every once in a while, after I'm on him for a while, he will go out there and he'll start to attempt to organize a few things. And he'll come in and say, oh, I put together a box of blah, blah, blah. Can you put that on Facebook Marketplace and sell that for me? And I'm like, sure, no problem. So, you know, he's open to selling them sometimes. So, yeah, maybe if I just, you know, snuck a few out here and there, he wouldn't even know.
Maybe you're the other end of this whole collector. You know, every collector has a sales arm of their business. So maybe you just start selling the stuff that you don't need. Or maybe you find two of them and you say, do we need both? You know, and you say, I can sell them, and I put them in the new tool fund. You know, because then he's feeling good about it. But here's the trick.
You take 80% of the cash. You take 20%, put in his new tool fund. He's happy. You're happy. Not a bad compromise there.
That's a good idea. It's a really good idea.
With that, what would you like to buy, sell, or trade?
Do we have enough time to go through it all?
I don't think so. What, I need inventory.
What is the one thing that he has that truly you do not need aid of? Because I can maybe get behind having different drills. You know,
different drills for different purposes. Yeah. Also, you always want a backup drill.
But like, is there something he has way too many of that literally no one ever needs that many?
Tape measures.
Well, tape measures. No,
we probably have 100 tape measures.
You could never have enough tape measures, because some tape measures, when you send them out, Miles, you just did a video on this. The crack point is different.
Yep.
And if you're measuring some a long distance away and it's just you, you know, you need to have a long crack point.
And some of them have the tape measure on both sides of the metal part in there.
Oh, those are cool.
And some only have on the one side. Some are automatic. They zoom back in on their own. Some you pull out and push the thing down. And there's all different kinds of ones, so I don't know if that's necessarily true.
I also want to throw out a quick PSA on these tape measures. They can be dangerous, those automatic ones. I sliced my thumb on a tape measure once when I was a kid on that automatic retrieve. So
And then sometimes when you're working outside, it's maybe raining a little bit, then it gets a little rusty in there. It doesn't come out as easy, so then you got to get a new one.
And then if you cut yourself on a rusty tape measure, look, you need another tetanus shot. So
it's either another tape measure or another tetanus shot. You choose. Which one's cheaper?
Yeah.
Well, he just got a tetanus shot because he just nailed his finger to a board. So
he's good for a little bit.
Yeah. I think we blew past that. Yeah. Let's talk about the board nailing story. So what was he making?
He was making a birdhouse. So we have a small hobby business, and he makes birdhouses and bird feeders and planters. And he was making a birdhouse.
Shout out the name of the business, first of all.
It's Gary's Gift. So it was named after my father, who recently passed away, and he was a woodworker, so we named it after my father. And so we do little arts and crafts shows all around the area. And he was holding the birdhouse and hit the nail gun in, and it, or hit the nail in it, and it bent and then went into his finger and hit the bone, cracked the bone.
Oh,
not good.
And was he actually, did you have to go into the ER with the birdhouse still attached?
No, he actually pulled it out and
got a hammer.
And the doctor said to him, "Thank you for taking the nail out, because I don't like that part of this job." So.
Your husband's a badass. Extracted his own nail.
Yeah, no. What happened was the nail went into his finger. He needed a hammer, and he couldn't find it. They got 14 hammers, and he couldn't find the hammer to get the nail out of his finger. Is that what happened?
Exactly.
Hey, also, I want to say this, by the way. I completely am changing my whole advice deal. It's a business. Every tool
is a write-off.
It's a write-off.
It's free. It's
basically
exist.
Free. Free money. Hey, either your husband gets a new tool or Uncle Sam gets more money. Which would you rather have?
Now she's going to say they're an all cash business.
Are you guys an all cash business?
No.
We just shouted out the business.
Not at all.
Okay. They are very on the books, IRS.
We are completely on the books.
Okay, that's good.
I run the business part. He just does all of the building. So we're definitely on the books.
But are you writing off these tools though?
That's a no.
Some of them, but most of we are some of them, but most of them he had before we started the business.
So in reality, the business can just buy those tools from you and you can write that off.
That's
good to know.
No, that, I mean, that's an, that like you guys can run at an extreme loss this year. You're doing the books, start buying tools back one by one. Keep track of it. Get a little paper ledger. Yep. I mean, this is very on the books in the tax law.
We just made you guys so much money this year.
We did. Yeah. And we shouted out the business. I think Miles and I are 0.3% owners now. What do you think about that?
Well, maybe.
Okay.
I'd like 1% of every birdhouse.
Hey. The birdhouse where he put his blood on it, you guys should keep that blood. It adds to the natural patina of the wood.
Yeah.
Wood does not patina, but now it do.
No, it's like a new stain. It's like a blood red stained birdhouse.
It attracts coyotes for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good for you guys.
Yeah, I think we sold that one already.
You're running a great business.
So all in all, Charlie, what it sounds like is it doesn't sound like you need to buy less tools. It sounds like you need to start buying more tools so you can write them off.
There you go.
Well, I think then we're going to have to buy a bigger house because there's no room in the garage.
Hey, write it off.
You know what?
Two vehicles. We can't pull a vehicle in the garage. So
just build another one. It's just a house is just a bigger birdhouse with a foundation. You know,
it's true.
How cool would it be if your front door was a circle, you know,
little like peg sticking out of it. You gotta stand on the
little perch.
Yeah,
that would be awesome.
With a little perch. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Well, we solved so many problems for you today.
I think we also...
You did, actually.
Yeah.
I have a completely different attitude coming out of this.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
We knew she's the business mind. I knew she'd get excited about less taxes.
Less taxes.
We found it, Charlie.
We are here for your tax loopholes, okay?
I think I might have created more work for our accountant, but, you know, that's his problem, not mine.
Exactly.
I like that. That's a true business owner right there. They'll deal with it.
They will. Yeah. Fix it on the back end. Well, good for you.
All right. Well,
thank you so much, guys. For the advice.
Yeah, you have a good one, and watch out.
Watch out for nails.
Actually, real quick, since I got you on the horn here, what's the coolest bird you've ever seen in one of your bird feeders? You ever seen yourself a scarlet tanager?
I haven't, but that would be exciting.
God, they're cool.
I have a northern flicker that comes. That's really cool. I really like the northern flicker.
I love the northern flicker. It make a cool sound.
And the cedar waxwing. Yes. And the cedar waxwing, those are one of my favorite as well.
Charlie, let's hear you try and make the sound.
I can't. Do you have the Merlin app?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
Yeah. Standard practice.
Use it every day.
Yeah. So
you know what I love about this birdhouse business is you guys live it too. You guys aren't just making birdhouses for profit. You're living the real bird life.
Living the bird life. You know what I should? What you?
We are.
One. Could I suggest an architectural addition to your next birdhouse? Make a front. Okay. Make a front porch to your standard bird feeder. Actually, do a wraparound porch, and all around it, put nails, and those nails put oranges on. And that's how you're going to get the Orioles come the spring. And and I believe also the Scarlet Tanagers are into that citrus.
All right.
So you want an Oriole porch on this bad boy.
I want a little Oriole porch. We'll walk around.
I like that.
And do blunt the nails a little bit, unless, of course, you want to send a message to the squirrels. That's a whole other deal. Do you guys have any good stuff that you put on your feeders to keep the squirrels out? You put a little slinky on there or anything?
No.
Okay, well, you know what? If you want another business idea...
Well, we call this an upsell, Charlie.
An upsell.
You can add the squirrel prevention package to the birdhouse.
Which is nothing more than a pole with a slinky on it. And by the way, if you ever watch a squirrel climb up a slinky, oh my God, it's one of the most fun things ever. Not for the squirrel. They're like, what was the name of that Greek guy who was pushing the rock up the hill? Icarus?
What was it? Sisyphus.
Sisyphus. Yeah, it sounds like syphilis. So you can have like your squirrel Sisyphus. Wouldn't it be funny if there was a squirrel with syphilis trying to be Sisyphus? Anyway, sorry about that last part. That was unnecessary.
No, it's okay. We also build squirrel feeders. So I think we don't get a lot of squirrels in the bird food because we cater to the squirrels.
Well, good for you.
They're taking care of
it. Also, Charlie, you want to keep that syphilis joke out of your next special, by the way.
Oh, okay.
That one.
Yeah. All right. That didn't land. Okay. I thought we could make syphilis jokes. It's been enough time. Sorry about that. I didn't realize Miles was so sensitive.
But I think there is something with a tetanus shot joke in there, too, Charlie. I think you could workshop.
Okay. This is why I have Miles here. He builds my next hour.
Well, we appreciate you calling in.
Yeah, thanks for the advice. You guys have a great rest of your day. Don't drink too much and tell your folks this. Hi.
Okay. Yours watch too. For deer though.
All right.
We don't hear that very often, Charlie, with a peppy attitude. Thanks for the advice.
I know, dude, but we gave so much good advice. Like I'm going to be honest with you, Miles. Most of the calls that we have, neither of us are qualified to give any advice on that particular one. I think we really, freaking hit a home run.
Well, we did, but I still don't think we're qualified to be giving legal tax advice.
No, I mean, we should. Oh, and if you're still listening after the fact, it was Monica, right? Monica, you should definitely talk with a tax professional who knows what the hell they're talking about. Miles' whole thing about buying it back from your company, I think that's bullshit.
No, I think that you can actually do
that.
Can
you do that?
Yeah, I think so.
Dude, I'm gonna like, I got some stuff I want to buy back for myself. That's what's up. I didn't know you. Do you do that at the end of the year?
Well, no, I just buy everything from the business.
Yeah, smart. Okay, well, good.
Charlie, it is finally football season again.
Football season again.
Feeling good? How are you feeling about your Packers?
Packers right now, baby. We are looking good. 1-1. We are playing the Saints at home this weekend.
And what are you going to be drinking while you're watching the Packers Saints?
Are you kidding me? That's why we got the green tippy cow here, baby. We've got the green tippy cow. Goes good with the gold.
It's a perfect color for the green and gold Packers for you, Charlie.
It is the perfect color, Miles.
Tell me, is it easier when things aren't going your way during a game? Does it make it easier knowing that you're sipping on some tippy cow?
It does, because tippy cow just kind of eases any. First of all, we're never really not doing good. We're always coming back, Miles.
Okay.
But yeah, if things aren't going stellar, yeah, a little sip of this stuff.
And if anything, you drinking tippy cow is you're doing your part to turn the ship around if it's not going well, right?
It's my good luck drink, Miles. Yeah. Tippy cow. You got to make it a tippy cow.
Superstitious, just a little stitious, and that's drinking tippy cow for the old ball game, huh?
That's it. Not superstitious, just a scotch stitious.
There you go.
There you go.
We found it. Hey, cheers, Charlie. Tipping on back with tippy cow, amen. Ladies and gentlemen.
We are back with another week of football, and DraftKings Sportsbook is keeping us in on the NFL action with great offers every single game day. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets.
$200 instantly in bonus bets, Charlie?
Miles, you were listening. You bet your A double dollar sign. Get it? Money, dollar signs, ass, got it. Throw five down on any of this week's epic matchups to watch away.
To walk away. Fuck. An instant winner. DraftKings isn't stopping there. All customers can take advantage of two new offers every game day this September. Football's more fun when you're in on the action, Charlie. So download the app now and sign up with the code BELLIEDUP. New customers can bet just $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook, official sports betting partner of the NFL, with code BELLIEDUP. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY, which is 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, Kansas, licensee partner Golden Nugget Lake Charles, L.A., 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in ONT. See sportsbook.draftkings.com/football terms for eligibility, terms, and responsible gambling resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance.
Philip from Pittsburgh. What's on your mind, Philip?
Well, firstly, I wanted to say, now that I am a homeowner, I have been trying, now that I've seen your comedy, to embrace the Midwest nice over here on the East Coast. So I've been spraying the neighbor's weeds and, you know, just trying to be like a nicer guy around the neighborhood. So, and your comedy did that for me. So
good man.
Pretty well.
Good man. I like it. You're spreading that Midwest nice neighbor action all the way over there in Pittsburgh, PA. We love to hear it.
Yeah. Yeah. Geez Louise, the East Coast can be pretty nasty sometimes.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I can.
So anyways, as I said, the new house, building the man cave in the bathroom in the basement. So I wanted to know, and I'm doing, you know, straight, I had to put in the flanges and everything all completely from scratch. So I've been asking everybody, other than a TV and a fridge, that's like everything, what would you have to have in there? What would be your thing that you just couldn't live without?
Well,
or if you just had bare studs, not that you couldn't live without it.
What do you what kind of building are we working with right now? Is it a like, what size room are we talking? You know, what's already there? Talk me through that a little bit.
Okay, so like I said, it's a brick house. So then the basement is all cinder block walls, obviously, and then it has these those block windows that I'm
I mean, maybe I shouldn't get rid of them, but I was going to cover them just because they're not really, you know, good for, you know, regular like window hanging outness. So basically the basement is divided into two halves because of the chimney. So like there's a wall that goes right through the middle. So the man cave space started with like a probably a 12 by, let's say, 30 foot space. And then I took off like the last 10 feet for the bathroom. So I'm putting up a wall in the middle there. It's going to have a door that slides. So the actual man cave space might be somewhere around 11 by 20, you know, like that. And then right off the man cave is like a little tool room. So I might turn that into a finished laundry room, but I like having the little tool bench room right off the man cave.
How many,
keep the tool room.
How many different drills do you have?
Actually, my brother bought me a set. He was actually buying it as a joke. The day I moved into the house, he brought me a rigid set that had an oscillating saw, an impact gun, a drill, and the flashlight. You know, the one you get at Home Depot that comes in like a bag.
Cool.
And then he also bought me a painting kit, you know, with like 10 brushes in it. And he said it was like a joke, but actually, you know, I've used every single one of them probably like 20 times. You know, the oscillating with the sander. Like that's like the best tool on the planet. The saws, I'm saying.
Yeah, that's a great starting point, but you're gonna need to bump those numbers up. You're gonna need at least 8 drills at some point to your collection. But
8 drills. See, I'm thinking I need more saws. Like I have a circular saw.
Yeah, you need more saws.
Saws, drills, hammers, tape measures.
Get a table saw too. If you can find one that they're, you know. Yeah. Some people, that's the last thing they get. But
back to the man cave.
Back to the
You have
cave.
A great size man cave. Not too big, not too small. You got a fridge and a TV, it sounds like. Charlie, what else does he need?
Definitely. Those went in first. So right now you can watch TV while you're in the bathroom because the wall's not finished. So it's pretty epic right now.
So you might want to think about leaving a window in that wall.
Yeah. Just keep that there. Yeah, you don't need a wall to your deal there. It's not the size of the man cave. It's how much wood paneling you get. I'm going to need you to find some wood paneling for those cedar block walls.
And honestly,
cinder block walls.
You don't even want to stop with the wood paneling, though. It's not about the size of your man cave. It's about how many different types of wood you can jam into this thing.
That is true.
The bar stool should be a different wood. The bar top should be a different wood. The wood paneling should be different. The shelving should be. I mean, we're going to just get as many different types of wood in this thing as possible.
Yeah, and the nice thing about that is you can find wood for free damn near anywhere you go. If you got a buddy who's doing a little renovation in his basement, I bet you there's some old wood paneling on those walls, and it's not that hard to pull off because it's very thin and flimsy, especially you get that stuff from the 70s. Just get yourself a nice little what are those,
utility knife?
I was almost gonna say one of those little jewelry hammers. Those are nice. They're very delicate. Those little tiny ones, dude, those are the ones, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Because a big hammer...
What do you use the jewelry hammer for? Because it has an edge on the back that you can just pull the stuff down?
It's got a very thin edge, and you can get in between the... what you don't want to have happen, and I did this in my buddy's basement, you use a regular hammer on it. Now, I'm not a great craftsman, but I got a little aggressive, and we lost some of the panels there. So just something nice and delicate. Because the way they do it is they use these old braided nails, these like little tiny ones. Anyway, just trust me. If it doesn't work, just, you know, use a crowbar. But that's
so. I mean,
that brings two things to mind. So you're saying that like for the man cave, you can't bring any of the home decor paint in there. You got to keep it all wood to tap into that real manness of it. Even though you might think like, well, guests are coming, but you can't think that way. It's got to be all about tapping into the manhood.
Well,
paint should not touch this man.
Yeah, Kev. What are you gonna do? Go like one color? Nah,
no.
Come on,
what
dude.
Are you gonna,
I mean, I was thinking
gonna,
about painting it gray on drywall.
Yeah, you're gonna.
No,
you're gonna drywall this,
dude. Don't drywall it.
Way too expensive.
Yeah. This is. It's gonna just get yourself some particle board. And honestly, the particle board is a good look too for at least part of it. You know, that way
accent wall.
It is an accent wall. Yeah. And
just a particle board.
No, just particle board.
Good.
We cannot be clearer about this man cave needs zero paint.
Zero paint, all wood.
Oh, no paint.
All wood, no breaks. Okay, yeah.
But also, you said the jewelry hammer, like, that's another thing, though. I will say I have upgraded to probably 4 or 5. You know, you start with a 1 pound, not quite cutting it. You do with a 3 pound, and then you realize, like, a 6 pound is, like, you know, can solve pretty much any problem comes in your way, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you want it. Hammers is something. There are so many great hammers out there that you just want to go to town on the hammers. And a great place to get hammers. I found a nice hammer at a Goodwill once, and
I mean, if it's a hammer, it's a hammer. It's not going to be overused or whatever. You know,
they don't go bad. It's like leather. You just break it in, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Who wants a pristine hammer? That just means it's almost embarrassing.
Yeah, you know? It means you got soft hands and a tiny pecker. Anyways.
So we got wood everywhere. Charlie, what are you thinking for the flooring?
Flooring. Now, this is exciting. What's currently on the floor?
So we actually, unfortunately, 2 weeks after we moved in, the plumbing, we realized the cast iron plumbing had reached its limit. So they dug it up. So now it's all like smooth concrete because they had to like re-excavate. I think there was some shitty carpet in there, but that was, no. You know, they ripped it right out. It wasn't even...
That's
so
fine.
Concrete.
You didn't save that carpet?
Yeah, you're gonna want to get some shitty carpet back in there ASAP. It's probably flooded.
They didn't give me a choice. They took it with, you know, they took it with them with all the trash. I believe it was soaked in you know, a mixture of, you know, different fluids. So
You don't want that moldy smell and the no.
Well, you want the smell, you just don't want the mold.
You don't want the mold.
So if you can find a candle smells like mold, that would be great.
Yeah, a nice mold scented candle.
Also gonna wanna, once you get this thing done, you're gonna wanna smoke about a pack of cigarettes in there.
Yeah.
About once a month, just to make sure there's that little hint to smoke in there as well.
Yeah, and you don't even need to smoke them if you don't want to. Just like light them all up and put them next to a fan in reverse and just have the fan start circulating that.
That's a good idea.
That'll stain the ceiling.
I smoke a vape. I quit smoking cigarettes a long time ago, but I've smoked since I was 14. But a courtesy I always allow is I still let anyone smoke in my car or my house. Like, that's a courtesy I'll never, you know, get rid of. Like,
awesome.
I hated when I was a smoker being, you know, exiled, you know. So I could just have like a, you know, a smoker's only section in there for like a day and then just, yeah, let them do it up. Like that, you know, that thing in the Atlanta airport where there's just 70 smokers just like chiming the place up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just put a two top table in the corner and that's a smoking section.
Yeah, I have a smoking section.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, you can even put signs up. Once you could say smoking, and then on everywhere else just says no smoking.
Yeah.
Yeah, smoking, non-smoking.
In this 12 by 20 room.
I wish we still had smoking section.
You got to get some good signs going, too. Some good...
what do you think? What's the best sign you could put up there?
So Hams actually has these awesome, like, moving signs, but they're really expensive. So you probably, if you can't find one there.
Facebook Marketplace got a lot of beer memorabilia.
It does.
So
sure do.
And then you're maybe going to have to haggle a little bit for it. But I think the real answer is not what's the best beer sign to put up. It's how many can you fit in this 12 by 20 room is what it's really about. You want to try and eliminate a lot of the paneling by covering it with cool signs.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. And then what's your stance on framed things? Is it posters only or, I mean,
no
frame?
Frame doesn't bother me. Just don't, you know, you got to have a dartboard, so don't put anything that is actually worth something next to the dartboard, because beer plus darts equals, you know,
beer darts.
Yeah, that is what it equals.
Yeah.
Do you have a dartboard down there?
Yeah, so what about gaming? Would you? I mean, I plan to. I haven't bought one yet because there's nowhere really to hang it yet. But my dad always had the old school, you know, felt with the actual tips, not the plastic. So
we
always played that when we were kids. So yeah, that's the one you want. But it was obviously, the wall was just covered in holes. But
what
do you think about gaming tables? I mean, because like a foosball table would take up pretty much all your space, you know. And then people think, oh, the pool table will fit here, but then you don't realize you need like another 8 feet around the pool table to play pool.
Too small for a pool table, but a bumper pool table
could do that.
Find yourself
a little guy. Yeah.
Well, I was thinking just maybe get like a 5 or 6 foot round table, low top, And then you can just play games on that. You got bar dice. You got cribbage.
Yep.
You got
sheepshad euchre. Thing with the bumper pool table, though, Miles, is a lot of them come with a top you put on top of the bumper pool. So then you can play bumper pool.
Oh, for poker and dice, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
Absolutely.
And do you have a bar set up already?
No, but that's going to be real easy. You know, I think I'm just going to do like, I got plenty of extra 2x4s, so I think I'm just going to do like 2x4s like laid across the top, and then maybe stain them, or just you know, like that, do like a just a like a, almost looks like an outdoor bar, but just like right there on the
another type of wood.
Another type of wood.
It doesn't look terrible.
You know, I will say this: if you got an old door sitting around, frame up with the 2x4s and then put that old door on top. That's actually pretty nice, because the doors have an edge, and oftentimes it will do a nice deal of edging out your bar.
A lot of them already have like a lacquer finish on it.
Yeah, they're already stained. You might have to do a light sanding refinish, but maybe not too, you know. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't an exterior door, there's probably not a whole lot you got to do on that. So,
right, yeah, a lot of people are using doors as like dining room tables and stuff. That's a hell of an idea.
Yeah.
Now, one thing that is it too late to run a water line into this room or not?
So that's the beautiful thing about it is, you know, they put in, when they did the plumbing, I tacked on the, hey, can we add a bathroom in here? So like they ran the text lines in. So if I wanted to, I could, the bathroom's right there. I could just cut, you know, the sink, so I could just put a splitter on both the hot and cold from the sink and run it right through the ceiling.
Yep.
So and I could run the water is basically already running there. You know, it's extended. So
yeah, where I was going with that, just make sure you got a thing that'll make you some ice. Running up and down the stairs for ice is not ideal.
Yeah, and then you won't
good idea.
That is a good, because everyone knows, you know, when people are coming over, you're trying to make some cocktails. Yeah, bring a bag of ice. Pain in the ass. Nobody ever remembers, you know, and you're drinking warm drinks.
I have definitely run out, you know, for a quick 2 minute, you know, going 80 miles an hour just to get to the gas station back before anyone even realizes you're gone, to get a massive bag of ice, and still you run out. You run out again.
So that's maybe one of the fancier things you're going to need in this. This may be the fanciest thing. Well, if you can get if you can get an old fridge that has one in it, even better.
Oh, that's a hell of an idea too. Just get the fridge that has the ice maker.
Yeah.
I haven't bought the fridge yet. I have a mini fridge in my bedroom, which is epic, but I don't have a mini fridge yet for that. So yeah, that's a good idea.
And that's another good point, is you're going to want to fit as many fridges into behind the bar as you can, too, because you just can never have too many fridges.
No, and get an old telly down there, too. Like we got a lot of the new school ones, but the old telly, the reason that one works good is you can always have the local access channel on behind the bar, you know, just a little eye candy for people watching, you know.
Oh, nice. So you mean like getting like a rabbit ear, like little TV that just sort of sits behind the bar, not the main TV. It just kind of sits back.
Yeah. Tube TV.
Because the other thing about that TV, and this is a must have in a man cave, is you can play Duck Hunt. You can't play Duck Hunt on any other telly. You got to have one of those old school ones.
That's a fair point.
Yeah.
So you can't play Duck Hunt on a non-tube. I didn't realize that.
I don't think so. Anyone want to fact check me on that?
Because like the glass reflects or whatever. Yeah, it makes sense. But yeah, I didn't think about that, but I guess you wouldn't be able to.
Yeah,
and I'd say the last part is for the bar wear. Just go to the Goodwill store and just take everything that they have. And nothing needs to match.
Yeah, so anything that matches more than two cups is like just going too far.
Yeah. And they have some really nice glasses there. So everything you need has already been purchased. It's just finding where it is on Facebook Marketplace, Goodwill, etc.
Yeah, someone's purchased it already.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're excited. Send us a picture when it's done.
I would. You want to see the progress and that, like what it looks like now, and then we'll see the finished, I guess.
Before and after. That's
okay,
what
so just post it on the Twitter.
Just send it to us. DM us on the Twitter. Bellied up.
Yeah, or just tweet it, too.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. However, I got to call you out. You didn't answer the full question. Just for you personally, what's the one thing you couldn't leave out? Would it be like a table to make your fishing flies? Would it be like a, you know, the, like the euchre table? Or I mean, what's the one thing you just, even if you only had 10 by 10, like, you'd be like, this is non-negotiable. I got to have it.
Damn.
Well, there's a lot of stuff we listed that I feel like I can't live without.
Absolutely necessary deck of cards. That's, I mean, because whatever you got, you know, you can
be on the floor.
You can be on the floor. You got a deck of cards. You can amuse yourself. So it's very simple, but I say deck
of cards. Okay, that's a good one. Yeah. Couldn't do it. You wouldn't even bother unless you could do it. Okay, great. Because
otherwise you're going to have to talk to the people in your basement if you can't gamble with them. And who the hell wants to talk to people?
Yeah, exactly. I actually, we gamble up all. We play poker on vacation, me and my family. So, like, we're big on the taking money from each other.
Oh, you should also look up Rummy Royal Board. Rummy Royal Board.
Rummy Royal? What's that?
It's a great game. Oh, super fun. You make a board just out of, like, a big square piece of wood. And that's a great, great game to play. And it can go anywhere. The board can sit behind a telly or whatever, but just look it up. That's a pro tip. Anyone out there?
Yeah, I'd like to stack up pretty much as many board games as I can, you know, just to have them all kind of there. But
yeah,
I meant to ask too, did you ever post the actual rules to the Bar Dice? Because we don't know what the hell that is here in Pennsylvania. But did you ever actually write out the rules and put them on the Twitter? Or
you did a video, didn't you?
I did a video of it. Yeah, I should send you
I saw the video. It'd just be nice to have like a paper next to it. I tried to follow the video, but like it'd be nice to have like a paper next to you just to be like, wait a second. Yeah.
So what you're saying is Charlie didn't explain it well enough.
That's basically what you're saying.
No, what I'm saying is he explains it great. It's just like when you're trying to learn, you have to pull up the video each time. But I guess that's on me, right? I should be the one writing it down.
No, you know what?
He already did the legwork.
I'll have Miles transcribe it and send you a copy.
Yeah.
Miles, what's your must-have?
I mean, for me, it's about the atmosphere. So having the right beer signs and decor in there is what makes it just...
Okay.
Special.
The right beer sign. What beer sign would you recommend? What era of Busch would you recommend?
Well, I really love the Busch signs that have Busch written across a mirror with like a woodsy design with the wood frame on it.
Yeah, those are cool.
Yeah.
Those are really cool.
Get a mirror,
the mountains going across the bottom there.
Yeah, if you can get a mirrored sign, that's the real ticket, I think.
It's the move.
I like it. Yeah, here in Pittsburgh, we're big on like our local, Iron City and Yingling and all that. Here it wouldn't be Busch, but yeah, there's a lot of stuff that we can be proud of here, I suppose.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, good luck on your man cave adventure. Hopefully, it goes well for you, and we're excited to see the finished product.
You really are.
Absolutely. I'll post you a picture soon on the Twitter there. Yeah. And just say, I love the podcast. I listen to it every time I go back and listen to the shorts and stuff. Like, it's good stuff. And, I'd like to see, if you tour ever here in Pittsburgh again at that Homestead Theater, like that, I'd like to go. I just missed it. I didn't realize you were touring yet. So, big fan.
We're actually going to be out in Pennsylvania. Is it Reading or Reading?
Reading.
I'm an idiot. We're going to be, how far away are you from Reading?
Reading, like the Reading Railroad. Well, how would you know? It's so, Reading is like, for instance, I'm going to Philly tomorrow to see the Postal Service. That's like a 5-hour drive. Philly's like, back it off a little, like 4, you know what I mean? Highways are also like,
it's a ways away.
What I mean is I'm going to Philly tomorrow to see a concert one night, staying with my sister. And then, I'm coming back the next. So it's not like
he's willing to travel, Charlie, is what he's saying.
Yeah.
Well, if you want tickets to my show in Reading, we'll get you on the list.
Okay, cool. What's that mean? What's the list?
What does he say? I don't know.
Be clear. Stop being so cool.
We'll call.
He's going to give you free tickets to the show in Reading. How's that?
Yeah.
No way. I thought you meant like they're so sold out that I had to like be on a list to buy them. You're going to give me free tickets?
Yeah, I'll give you free tickets.
I'm not taking the piss out of here. I thought you meant like, there's a limited spot. So you're going to give me free tickets to your show, really?
Yeah, hang on. Let me find the date.
How many you need?
I think it's October 6th.
Oh, thank you. October
6th. October 6th. That's perfect. That's coming up soon. So just two.
We got you linked up, dude. 7 o'clock, October 6th. We'll see you there.
Do you need his?
Oh yeah. Okay. Oh yeah. Wait. Can you give me your last name, or do you not want this on the
deal? Can cut that out. We'll cut it out.
No, I can give it, but I can just bring a picture of the man cave. So
that'll be cool too. Give me your full name.
Philip with 2 L.
All right. I'll give you 4 ticks. How's that sound?
That sounds perfect. I'll see if my brother or anybody wants to come.
Yeah, you're
going
to have to find
awesome.
A couple
Thanks
new
so much,
friends.
Man. Yeah. And you'll both be there?
I will not be there. No, I am busy. I don't know.
Miles is shampooing his hair.
Yeah.
His facial hair.
No.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. That's a big job. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot. So, no, it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely look forward to seeing you. And that, yeah, thanks so much for talking with me. Like I said, huge fan. So appreciate the advice and just appreciate you picking up the phone.
Absolutely. Hell yeah, man. We'll see you in October. Take care now.
Sounds great. You too.
Well, Charlie.
See, do you like how I plugged my tour dates and shows in there?
Yeah,
you
that know? Was smart.
Reading, Pennsylvania, October 6th. You guys come. CharlieBarons.com. Tickets. What do you
I
think?
I love how Jared knew what day
what's up,
was
Jared?
Before
what's
you
up.
Did.
Yeah.
No, I knew he was confused by your slick industry talk. You know?
What did I say, dude?
We'll put you on the list.
Well, it's
chill. I'll just like slap you on a... On a list.
You know what, Miles? I'm sorry that you think I'm being too cool for school, but at this point, I didn't even try to be too cool for school. So perhaps, maybe at this point in my life, I'm finally too cool for school.
Yeah, you are.
What do you think?
Yeah, dude. Like, we'll just like get you. We got
you. You call me out on this stuff a lot. I was listening to an old podcast of ours, actually. And I said something about, oh, yeah, I play Chicago a lot. And you're like, oh, do you play Chicago a lot? Like, you have a habit of always calling me out, you know?
Okay. It's do really, you want to talk?
It's really mean. It's really mean.
Okay.
Don't you guys think it's mean? We should get a bellied up therapist on to work on our relationship issues.
Well, one, I'm sorry. I thought we were just razzing each other because I thought we were buddies.
You know
but
what?
I understand if you can't handle a little razzing. As I gaslight him here. Okay. If you're that sensitive, Charlie, then...
Yeah, well, you people don't know how the day started off. It started off when Miles was an hour late for the shoot, and then I show up on time.
Well, what time did you tell him that we were supposed to start? Because we were always supposed to start at noon.
I think it was 11:45. Yeah, that's what I said on the shoot.
Well, maybe I was late, too. The point is, Miles... Is that...
No, I understand your... I'll be better. I'm sorry, Charlie.
Yeah. Yeah, it hurts me on an emotional level, Miles.
All right. I'm sorry. Do you accept my apology?
I'm going to think about it.
Okay. Well, tune in next week.
Wait,
to
are
see
you
if
actually
Charlie
sorry?
Yeah, I am.
Really?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
I think you might actually be sorry.
I'm a little sorry.
Wow. That's really great.
Tune in next week to see if Charlie forgets me or forgives me. Or forgets me.
You guys,
tune in next week to see if Charlie showed up to the next podcast.
Well, I will be since it's right here. Yeah. We're going to record it after. Well,
all right.
I'm just teasing.
That was such a nice episode, and then we had to end it on such a rocky...
But I kind of like it because it's a cliffhanger, you know? Yeah. Like, oh, is there a relationship
it's like a soap
on the
opera.
Rocks? Yeah.
It's like we're on Young and the Restless.
Yeah.
Tune in next week.
Tune in next week to see if Miles actually shampoos his beard. You should come out to Reading, dude.
We'll talk about it. Yeah.
That's how you can make this up to me. You come to my show.
Damn it.
Yeah.
All right.
Got him.
All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in to another episode. Tune in next week.
Bye-bye.